Christian, do you think God loves you?
Who's that again?
Oh, man. Oh, dude, it's been a long day.
Has it?
Yeah. How do you guys feel?
Well, you're listening to the Agent Orange podcast with Liam Justin Hopkins and our guest for the second episode in a row.
The other Hopkins.
Christian Hopkins, other known as Christ, Christ, Chris.
Crystal Ball.
Yeah, Crystal Ball.
Yeah.
We're coming at you. I believe that song you just heard was Sunday by Sonic Youth.
Yeah.
That was the intro for this week. And honestly, we're probably start doing some listener requests. Yeah, requests for opening songs. Probably start doing that soon. But we got some pretty good jams so far.
Yeah, I think so too.
So yeah, we got the trio here, second episode in a row. You're gonna have to deal with it. We'll have surprise guests all the time. Christian's gonna be a recurring guest for sure.
Oh fuck yeah.
We're also sorry.
Oh fuck yeah.
Oh fuck yeah.
Yeah. We're also sorry if you can't differentiate our voices.
Oh man.
Me
yeah,
and
I know,
Liam
right?
sound very similar. Liam, yeah, say something.
Christian, say something.
No, you.
Yeah, we have large noses and deviated septums, sinus cavities.
So you're going to be hearing a lot of...
Oh, man, yeah.
A lot of that, a lot of nasally Fran Drescher-type performance, vocal performances.
We got some big beaks here.
Yeah. And if you can, Justin, could you shoot the listeners the topic that we got today?
Okay, so today's topic is the New York City blackout of 1977.
1977.
Yeah, man.
If you're listening to this, most people probably don't know too much about it. You might have heard about it.
Yeah, a lot of people don't know jack shit about it.
Yeah, but this is literally Taxi Driver in New York. Late 70s,
actually.
Crack epidemic, Carter, Reagan, all of it.
Everyone's all fucked up on drugs.
All
angry.
Fucked up.
Well, I don't think crack hit until like the 80s, right? So this is more like the peak of like heroin.
Yeah. Also, I've done a little bit of research in the past just as a hobby, just researching Harlem in particular during the late 70s, which was, it's hard to think about today, but it used to just be, it would just be dirt roads, and because all the buildings were either burnt down or they were just abandoned, which had a lot to do with the drug issue, obviously. And people would just burn down their homes constantly because they're so poor and they lived with no furniture, nothing, no heat.
Well, arson was just a huge thing too.
Yeah, they would burn down their homes constantly to get insurance money, which became so bad that I'm pretty sure they had to mix up the regulations when it comes to insurance policies because there were just entire blocks of city streets within Harlem that were just burnt down. It was a real sad time. If you can look it up, I think it might have been East or South Harlem during the late 70s. There's a lot of pictures of it. It's just complete. You would not think it's New York at all. It looks like the middle of the desert because people burned down all their homes.
It looks like Baghdad in like 05. Like,
yeah.
It's just not good.
There's just debris everywhere. It's just a very sad scene.
If you were an arsonist in the pretty much all of the 70s and 80s, this
business
is like
was booming.
Yeah, pretty much.
If you were a landlord, I feel bad for you.
Slumlord.
Get fucked.
It's pretty much a slumlord because the landlords, that's the thing, is the landlords had to sell the buildings without ever even like going to them, or they sold them back to the state because they couldn't deal with it because people would burn them down constantly.
It's like what, Section 8 housing, whatever that came
out? Exactly. It's exactly what it is. It's literally just giant apartment buildings to have, you know,
it's
one bedroom apartment.
Low income, yeah.
And it's just terrifying. I mean, they would burn. There's especially like I think it was the 78 World Series or one of them when the Yankees played, they would show aerial shots of Yankee Stadium, which is in the Bronx, and about two blocks south of Yankee Stadium is just burning buildings all night. They would burn all night into the daytime, and it was definitely a war zone for sure. So, in particular, during this episode, we're going to talk about the blackout
of 77.
Of 77, which, what was the date or the
okay,
dates?
Okay, so the New York City blackout of 1977 was an electricity blackout that affected most of New York City, and it occurred between July 13th and July 14th. It was actually a heat wave. There's a huge heat wave going on.
In New York.
It's 25 hours long.
Which they are not used to heat waves.
The only neighborhoods in the city that were not affected were in southern Queens, including the neighborhoods of the Rockaways, Long Island. Lighting company pretty much took care of those places. But the electric company that basically allowed this to happen was... they didn't allow it to happen.
Yeah.
This is kind of a freak occurrence, which is... It's kind of weird. Con Edison was taking care of the electricity for most of the city. And basically what happened was at 8:37 p.m. on July 13th, which was a Wednesday, a lightning strike at Buchanan South, a substation on the Hudson River, tripped two circuit breakers, and the Buchanan South substation converted 345,000 volts of electricity from Indian Point to lower voltage for commercial use, so like AC units. So pretty much during this heat wave, everyone and their mother was using an AC unit, and that, coupled with the loss from the lightning strikes, it looks like... a second lightning strike caused the loss of transmission lines. So two lightning strikes are
double whammy.
Yeah, double whammy. Does lightning strike twice? Yes, it does.
Indeed. And see, what a lot of people don't understand,
God does exist.
Yeah, when they say blackout, a lot of people think of a blackout and they think, oh yeah, just the power went out. But you have to understand, this is in New York City,
subways
in the 70s, which is the place. It's everything is booming constantly all night, all day. There's a lot of gangs, a lot of violence.
City that never sleeps.
Exactly. And when
Son of Sam was going on at this time.
Yeah.
I was just about to say, that was like right... The whole summer of 77 was the summer of Sam.
Yeah, and it's pitch black.
This is also, like economic the late collapse. 70s was like peak violence for the nation, too. Especially in New York.
You got economic collapse. You got all sorts of, you know, immigrants and all that all running around.
Yep, and this was also during a... This is also during the New York City fiscal crisis, which was from about 75 to like 80, which was a huge... It was basically just... How do you describe it? It was basically just a... It was just a financial crisis smack dab, and it was just New York.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you got the gas crisis, too, going on from 76.
Yeah,
leftover.
Right.
This was Carter, yeah.
So there's no
OPEC
gas,
was
no generators.
Of America.
This really couldn't have happened, because there's been blackouts before. I think in 65 there's a blackout, and then there's been blackouts since, like in 03.
Yeah, there's 65, and then 03,
yeah.
And then actually, in 2019, hang on a second, it's fucking hilarious. In 2019, on the 42nd anniversary of the event, another blackout occurred.
The anniversary.
Yeah.
There really is a guy.
Was it during this is during the summer again?
It is the same exact day.
Are you bullshit?
I told you, man, on the 42nd anniversary.
I thought you just meant like the fucking year.
No, on the
Jesus fucking Christ.
On the same exact
to
day.
To the day.
Yeah.
Not
same place.
Yeah, people, I just don't think people can understand truly unless you were there. How detrimental this was to...
In the middle of the summer.
In the dead middle of summer heat wave, dead New York, during the height of the heroin, heroin capital of the world that New York City was. And when you... I mean, if you've seen Taxi Driver, it was literally Taxi Driver New York.
You got deranged, you know, people who haven't had their fucking drugs in 10 hours.
Yeah, this is pre-Giuliani New York. Who was, I forget, this is when they had like six governors, and each governor was just put on a, they're just put on a stake by the people. The people hated every governor, because every time a new governor came in, somebody got stabbed in the subway.
Governor or mayor?
It was mayor, not governor, mayor. Every new mayor that they had, the crime just got so much worse until they got Giuliani, obviously, who just did, you know, who just, he would just tell off, I'm pretty sure he just told police to just go into the street.
Get rid of the mob.
Yeah, he also he got rid of the mob, crime. And he also, I mean, he's a profound racist. If you didn't know, see, people only know him
People gave that away.
They only know him as Trump, Trump's lawyer. But you have to understand.
What
that.
Do you think he became Trump's lawyer?
Yeah, exactly.
He was the mayor, he also like fought. Oh no, that was, yeah, he fought the mob.
Yeah,
he invented the RICO case.
Yeah,
which was used to basically just dismantle organized crime in America.
And see, that's the thing is people, I mean, he did a great job at it because, I mean, it worked. But the thing is, he also used to just tell police officers that they see a black man, strip search him. That he used to just tell his cops that, and they did it. And it was...
He'd be stopping a lot.
It was very sickening, mainly because it didn't even really stop anything, more so than it just made, you know, everybody missed... they didn't want to trust him anymore. And he turned Times Square into a... it's pretty much just a amusement park ride now. Mm-hmm. It has no edge to it like it used to. I'm not saying it was a good thing that they had a widespread drug and crime, you know.
But there's no real like heart and soul to it. It doesn't exactly. feel lived in. It doesn't feel like there's like actual people there anymore. It just feels like it's a destination for tourists.
You guys exactly. ever go there?
Say again?
Have you guys ever gone there?
No.
I've been there. And it's exactly like what you're saying.
Yeah.
It's literally, it's like a big gift shop.
Exactly.
And if you like, there's an Olive Garden there. Everything is like quadruple priced a normal one. Like a drink is like $8. A normal like a Coke would be $8.
Have you guys ever watched The Wire?
Nope, no.
Okay, well the guy that made The Wire made a series called The Deuce, and The Deuce is about Times Square and 42nd Street, especially in New York City. And all three seasons take place in different time periods, but it's the same people, and it's all about porn and the sex industry and how it evolved.
Like Larry Flint.
Well, no. That this is like hookers and peep James shows Franco.
Oh, okay.
And fucking like early pornography, like film reels and shit. Okay. And the first season takes place in 1971.
All Bush.
And the second season takes place in 77, and then the third season takes place in 1985. And it's just really cool to see how it like evolves. But it also shows you New York City like under different mayoral leadership.
Mm-hmm.
And it just shows you how like everything evolves and how like the laws change and how the police were in on it with the mob. And it's just super interesting. And if you want a really cool history lesson with occasional booby shots every once in a while, watch The Deuce on HBO.
Everybody loves boobies. So
fucking good.
I would also recommend what's the one? It's the History of New York, and it has Colin Quinn, I believe.
Oh man,
that I love excellent. That.
It's the New York Story on Netflix.
Yeah,
yeah, that's so good.
That's another good one. New York's always enticed me because it always just has a lure about it. It always has since I was a kid, mainly because I've never really been to a big city except Chicago.
Eh.
But Chicago is a much different playing field than LA or New York compared to. You know, New York especially has always had just an edge.
Mm-hmm.
It still kind of does in some parts of
yeah, there's a romanticism Harlem to it, and, yeah, for sure.
But big city life really ain't it.
Yeah, that's the thing, though, is I think today it's too much of a glamorized commercial.
It's more about cost of living than anything.
Yeah, it's just a pure, it's capitalism in its purest form.
It's honestly just a big rat race. I mean, when I went there, you go on the subway, it's packed. Everyone's going to work or doing some other shit or going home.
The only East Coast city I've ever been to is Baltimore.
And, Baltimore?
Baltimore?
Baltimore. Tuesday?
Edgar Allan Poe?
Tuesday.
Edgar Allan Poe?
Tuesday, Wednesday.
Fucking, I went there a couple of years ago, and as soon as I got picked up by my buddy, we were driving to go get something to eat, and he was just like, yeah, man, this is the place. And I looked around, and the first thing I saw next to Johns Hopkins University
homeless man.
On Charles Street was a homeless guy.
Fucking knew it.
And he was on a bench in broad daylight with his dick out, and there were three cops around him arguing with each other. I can only assume they're arguing because it looked like they were arguing about like how they were going
to... Why his dick is out?
Who gets to handcuff him?
Why his dick is out? How his dick is out? What are we going to do about his dick being out? Yeah, because
he was obviously high as fuck, and it was just hilarious because that's the first thing I saw when I got... When I got there,
when did you go to Baltimore?
When?
Yeah, what was that? 15, 16?
I want to say it was 16.
Was that after like the what were the? I feel horrible, but there was the one.
Freddie Gray?
Yeah, exactly. Was this post or before? Or after?
I have no fucking idea.
They shut down the city for like a week or two after because of the riots and stuff. Because I believe it was the police shot. What was his name? Freddie Gray. Yeah. And so this is before or after, because I know Baltimore definitely had an edge at that point.
No, it was fine to me. I was actually kind of like worried because he fucking, like we were hungry in the middle of the night, and he was just like, well, there's a CVS down the street that never closes. I'm like, okay. And then, like, he took me to a fucking Wawa, which I had no idea what a goddamn Wawa was.
Oh, no. Oh, yeah. White trash heaven.
So, we got food it's there. Like it was like house. It was like midnight in Baltimore. And I was just like, dude, are we safe? And he's like, yeah, we're fine. I'm just like, okay. And then, like, there was, like, a bunch of, like, trash on the streets. And, like,
yeah.
There was a guitar there. And he was just like, you want that guitar? I'm like, fuck yeah, dude. And I picked it up. And he, like, refurbished it. And he kept it. But, you know, that's our friendship guitar now.
I say it's like Waffle House in the sense that it's like a mecca for white trash.
Yeah.
To go at any time of day or night.
So you're trying to tell me that the homeless man with his dick out was not giving Baltimore the edge that you...
I wasn't expecting it right away.
Okay.
Know?
Yeah, because we're so used to Chicago, which is pretty much what New York is now, where it's just like...
No, I don't think so.
They do not feel the same.
Well,
not at all.
Obviously, I don't have the experience, but it seems like when you go to Chicago, they're just like, hey, go to the shop, spend money.
I don't know.
Chicago. It's just not my cup of tea.
I've never really liked it that much.
I don't know.
Skyline.
Chicago is just whatever.
It looks cool.
New York is like all about like doing your job,
yeah,
and fucking living your life, trying to make enough money to live there.
And it's more finance than anything else compared to Chicago, which is, I think, I mean, what's Chicago even?
It's mostly just poor pizza? People.
Say again?
What's Chicago's big thing? I mean, we're just a
Portillo's.
Port. I know we're a port city, but I mean like
Portillo's.
Because New York has finance, LA has the film industry, and Chicago's just, it's like we got Lake Michigan.
Bunch of poor people.
Why do you keep saying poor people?
Because
there's nobody poor in Chicago.
I need you to explain your answer, Christian.
Because every time I go to like Chicago through the train or driving there, every time I go there, I'm always driving through like 45 minutes to an hour of just poor, destroyed neighborhoods, just abandoned homes.
Oh yeah, Chicago.
All that shit.
Chicago is just guns. That's all it is.
When you go to New York, it's like, you know, everything's kind of nice. Sometimes there's some trash on places occasionally, but it's mostly a clean city. But New York is a totally different vibe, totally different place.
You know, you hear about Skid Row in LA and stuff like that, and like
LA's just all homeless.
Well, when I went to San Francisco to visit another buddy, basically he took me around, and I didn't know how big, I didn't know that Skid Rows were like multiple places. I guess like I thought
it's the term for the homeless camp.
Yeah, but I always thought that Skid Row was just like one big area that had all the homeless people.
There's a couple of them, yeah.
Not fucking at all, man. So I went to San Francisco and I would just discover these little microcosms of homeless people, and they would be like under the highway bridges and stuff. Or they'd be fucking like these little tent cities on the sides of buildings. It's just strange. I never knew that was so widespread like that. I never experienced it before.
Well, they can do that because it's so temperate out there. New York, it changes every season.
Well, I mean, when Reagan fucking dismantled the mental health facilities in the 80s and just unleashed all of them onto the streets, pretty much set the stage for the homelessness that we're kind of dealing with now.
I mean, the only memorable part of New York is probably going on the subway and how packed it was. And when I ordered food, of course, I looked up pizza, and the first place that came up, the highest rated place,
I think it was
called Luigi's.
Luigi's?
I still have the pamphlet in my backpack at home, but, it was Mario's or Mario's Luigi. I swear to God, it was Mario Luigi.
I think you're fucking with us.
Yeah.
I'm not fucking. I have the pamphlet at home.
Pure Italian in.
It is, because I called him.
What's
like,
the third rated place? Wario's?
No, but I have Princess Peach's pizza.
No, but I call him up and he goes like, hey, it's fucking Mario's place. What do you want?
He did not say it's fucking Mario's place.
He didn't say it's from Aqua Teen Hunger Force.
No, he was like, hey, it's Mario's place. What do you want? And I'm like, can I get a large?
Hey, Christian, you want a fucking pizza? Yeah.
I was like, can I get a large pepperoni? He's like, you want a large pepperoni pie? Okay, where you at? And I told him I was staying in New Jersey, so it took like 20 minutes to get there. But
I love New Jersey.
I did that, got it. It was real cool. And then I called him the next day. I'm like, it goes the exact fucking same. He's like, oh, you want another one? Huh? Okay.
you like it a sauce, do you?
We'll be there in 15 minutes, not 20.
You like it a juice?
You like it a juice?
You like it a juice?
You like it a pepper, yeah.
No, but like that stereotype of what you think it is, it exists. There's a reason that it's stereotyped.
Yeah, I hate Ronald Reagan.
Fuck Ronald Reagan.
I hate Ronald Reagan.
You know,
so
my
much.
Homies hate Ronald Reagan.
You guys, one of you guys mentioned him earlier, and I absolutely.
Yeah,
hate him.
I mentioned how
deregulated
would,
the media.
I would shower his grave in piss.
Well, he also could. This actually has to do with New York, is he deregulated the stock market, which in New York, so like all these guys, all these financiers
got the
in
World
New York,
Trade Center up there.
Well, yeah, the thing is, all these finance people in New York can start. Since he deregulated it, they could start picking up stock in, like, I don't know, like oil in Iraq. And so we just had all, that's how the kind of where the Gulf War kind of came from, is that we started having a ton of interference with the financial
You're
district.
Wildly off track.
That's okay.
Yeah, this has nothing to do with the blackout of 77.
Well, I'm saying.
Well, actually, the World Trade Center thing, I think they had just gotten done with construction on it.
71, I think it was.
That's when they started.
Was it?
71 is when they start. Yeah, definitely 71 was definitely when they started.
It was something, or they started in 69 or something. It took them a couple years, obviously.
I Google that for you, bud.
Yeah, how about we pull that up, Christian?
Yeah.
Guess I will.
Chris, can you?
It was opened in 1973.
1973.
This is when it opened.
So it's still relatively new by 77.
Yeah.
It's like four fucking years, yeah.
So I don't think we have a timeline of the exact events that unfolded.
Well, yeah, since it took place like within a like basically a day.
Yeah.
As soon as the blackout hit, looting and vandalism were fucking insane. Like 31 different neighborhoods. And the hardest one to hit was apparently a place called Crown Heights, where about 75 stores on a 5-block stretch were looted and damaged. And then in Bushwick, where arson was rampant, with some 25 fires still burning the next morning. So there were 1,500 fire alarms reported to the fire departments of New York City, and 400 of them were actually like real fires.
Yeah, there's no way they could all be burning at once. They're just kidding.
That's a fucking large number.
Yeah, man. I can't imagine being in like the center of where all most of those were happening. Like, you must have thought the world was ending.
How many fire alarms were set off or called for?
1,500.
So there's 1,501 insurance claims the next day.
Well, no, there's 400 the next day, because only 400 of them were actual fires. The others were like false alarms.
Went right over your head.
All right, fuck you. All right, whatever.
Insurance fraud. It's New York. Someone's going to make a buck on something.
The blackout began about 9:30 of July 13th.
Okay, so 35...
It was out for 25 hours.
Yeah. So... 35 blocks of Broadway were destroyed. 134 stores were looted. 45 of them were set ablaze. Thieves stole 50 new Pontiacs from a Bronx car dealership.
Ooh. Hell yeah. Hell yeah. I don't know why, but I just think it's hilarious when they loot like big stores like that, like GM. Mm-hmm. It's like they're not going to be missed.
Car dealerships?
These are the last people I feel bad for.
That's the thing, though. That's the thing, though, is people, especially like with nowadays with the looting. But
I mean, insurance will cover it.
But I'm saying back then it was insurance, but also you have to understand that these people were literally sleeping on dirt floors inside their apartment buildings. They were the brokest people in the fucking country.
Yeah, some of these like apartments were like from the 1800s.
These are the poorest people in the country. Are these people in New York?
And I talked to Steve, our other brother.
Yeah, we have a lot of brothers.
Electrician.
Yeah, he's an electrician for the mill, and he told me that basically that what caused the blackout was not really all that crazy. He said that pretty much a lot of these apartments were also like wired weird from like they were out of code.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, and that didn't help with the blackouts, like getting the power back on and stuff.
One of the real common things in a lot of big cities is back when Nikola Tesla invented AC, alternating current, Thomas Edison had used DC and tried to say that was better.
It wasn't.
It was a bit was more not, expensive, but I imagine with power outages is probably a bit worse, because it was just one power line transferring all that electricity. So I imagine a lot of shit melted and burned down a lot easier. So a lot of the infrastructure in big cities like that, even in like Chicago, there's still neighborhoods with DC today.
Yeah.
Still using it.
Like if
which
you
is ridiculous.
Like, you know, in Kowloon, Kowloon Walled City, which is, now I'm not saying, I'm not comparing it to New York, but it's similar in the fact that it's
Chinatown.
Well, you know how they're, how it's basically just buildings all built right next to each other,
where on top of each other.
Exactly. Oh, yeah. So the thing is, all the wiring was out of code, and they never had a blackout like this. Exactly. There was no code. But like, we could probably do a whole episode on Kowloon Walled City. That's a very interesting story. But
that
anyways,
is a cool one.
It's similar because they're so close, and the thing is, in Kowloon, the water pipes were right next to the wires, so constantly fires,
safe.
Constant fires, constant electrical outages. But nothing compared to when it happens in America, it's always a way bigger deal.
Yeah, of course.
Well, we got OSHA to worry about.
Yeah, and it also helps. It doesn't help that the entire city is hooked on heroin at this time. Keep in mind.
Got city code to worry about.
Yeah.
Which so, in Brooklyn, youths were seen backing up cars to stores, tying ropes around the store's gates.
Fuck yeah.
And using their cars to pull the grates away, then looting the stores. There were 550 police officers injured in the mayhem, and 4,500 of the looters were arrested. Mayor Abe Beame spoke during the blackout about what citizens were up against during the blackout and what the costs would be. We've seen our citizens subjected to violence, vandalism, theft, and discomfort. Discomfort.
Yeah, they weren't comfortable. I'm going to go on. Yeah.
Living there was discomfort.
The blackout has threatened our safety and has seriously impacted our economy.
Sounds like
We've
a fucking politician.
We've been needlessly subjected to a night of terror in many communities that have randomly and wantonly looted and burned. The costs, when finally tallied, will be enormous. End quote.
Yeah. It says here the skyline went entirely dark and the lights went out nearly everywhere. In the subways, which I feel would be absolutely terrifying if you were riding the subway. It's 9:30 at night, so you're already probably just got off work. You're on the subway. It's pitch black in the subways. They have the lights, but obviously...
I mean, everybody's stranded. That was out past that time is fucking stranded.
Yeah, if the lights go out, you're underground inside of a subway with, I don't know, a couple hundred other just random civilians, and it's
bunch
pitch
of bodies
black
in a tube.
In a heat wave.
Keep in mind, this is...
cooking.
The subway during the 70s, they had to... this was before they had to start putting cops in the subways because people would just shoot up right in the middle of the subway. People with graffiti everywhere. It was wild. And now it's pitch black at all times, everywhere you go.
It's 90 degrees.
Yeah, it's 9:30 at night. It's already pitch black. The skyline's completely dark.
So...
the Mets had to stop playing.
Yeah, actually.
They had to stop playing the Cubs.
So, in all, it was also the largest mass arrest in city history, with over 4,500 arrests.
Holy
many
shit.
Had to be stuffed into overcrowded cells, precinct basements, and other makeshift holding pens.
And I assume when they get them, it's still pitch black inside the prisons? This only takes place over 25 hours, by the way, the entire blackout.
Yeah.
But in New York time, that might as well be 3 months.
Well, I think it's also, it says right here that the congressional study estimated that the cost of damages amounted to a little over $300 million, which today is $1.29 billion in 2020 money.
For a 25-hour blackout.
Yeah, but
blackout.
For all the damage and mayhem that's going on, there's like pictures that I saw of like people in like the fancier parts basically like continuing to have fucking dinner at like via candlelight.
Oh yeah, the Hamptons and shit.
Hamptons.
Is that New York?
That is not New York.
It's California. I don't know, man. California, I mean, LA and New York basically seem...
California?
What? LA and New York are basically, they just seem so distant to me compared to the small town that we lived in. So it's just, I can't
right
even...
in the middle of those.
What I'm saying...
I know. Well, I mean, I'm saying we live in Chester, Indiana. I just can't imagine.
Yeah.
I can't imagine what it's like to be in New York, LA, even Chicago.
Too much going on at once.
Exactly, yeah. Especially when it's pitch black all day for a day straight.
It's not every day, though.
It's like living in Alaska.
Also, Kennedy Airport and LaGuardia were shut down as well.
Yep. That's a big deal.
Yeah.
Kennedy especially. Because those are two of the biggest
major
airports
hubs, yeah,
in the world. Not just in America, in the world.
It was not until the next morning that power began... being restored to those areas that were affected. Around 7 a.m. on July 14th, a section of Queens became the first area to get power back, followed shortly by Lenox Hill, Manhattan, the neighboring Yorkville area on the Upper East Side of Manhattan, though, was one of the last areas to get power back that Thursday evening by 1:45 p.m.
And a big, big shout out to these probably electricians and everybody else that did the work to get this shit back,
police,
back on.
Police, firefighters.
Yeah, everybody who did the work to get the power back on, because that's the big saving grace, is that they got it back on fairly quickly. It could have, I mean, could you imagine, this is all one day. They cost $1 billion in damage.
You know they what caused, the biggest effect this had was?
What's that, something that you're about to read to me?
It is.
What you got
fucking
there?
Fucking prick.
What you got there?
The blackout also caused complications for the producers of the film Superman.
Oh, yeah. This is... Oh, that's the Superman that they had to pay Marlon Brando $10 million for a two-minute cameo.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is... that, and I'm pretty sure Superman... we're going to go a little bit off topic, but Superman had a budget of like $100 million, which back then, you know...
Buku bucks.
Buku bucks, especially in New York during a blackout, but...
The city was eventually given over $11 million by the Carter administration to pay for the damages of the blackout.
Carter, I don't think... Was he super popular amongst the amongst anybody at that point? Because this was post... post Nixon, post Ford. He was the first Democrat since Kennedy.
Well,
we just
wanted a nice president that wasn't going to cheat on us. Kind of like Biden is right now, where he's just being welcomed in, but then he quickly became unpopular because he wasn't really dealing with the issues as quickly, or because I mean, like, they had the Iran hostage crisis that didn't get solved until the day after Reagan took over.
Yeah.
So I would say by this time, it's 77.
Plus there's a gas.
Reagan wasn't in office until 80. So I would say he's probably still, or is this Ford?
No,
this is Carter. So yeah, I would say he's definitely popular.
First
still.
Year, yeah, and this was also, I think, right before the gas crisis or during, when gas went up to like $6 a gallon or whatever it was.
Some insane amount.
Yeah.
So, okay, so the legacy. Mayor Beam accused Con Edison of gross negligence, but would eventually feel the effect himself. In the mayoral election that year, Beam finished third in the Democratic primary to Ed Koch and Mario Cuomo. Koch would go on to win the general election.
This is during, I believe...
And then Koch would have to deal with the AIDS crisis.
Yeah, from... I think it was from about 75 to about 90. There was like six different mayors, and each one of them felt the wrath of the people. They absolutely either hated them, or they loved them, or they loved to hate them. Because I feel like there's two or three that they wanted to just put on a stake and kill in the streets, because the way that they handled New York during this time, which was a very hostile environment, to say the least.
But that's pretty much it, man. I think it's interesting just because, like, the only reason I chose this was because I saw the, of course, I'm sure you guys have seen it, in case you live under a fucking rock, the Capitol got stormed, and just seeing civil unrest like that, I think just made me think of this. I think I read it in a book one day, like a long time ago, and yeah,
it's a it was very eerie, and the thing is, it's so hard for people to comprehend today, just because we have phones and everything. You could look it up and you could do it, because back then, you know, if that happened today, it would just be like, oh, I can't charge my phone now. But during this time, when, you know, you, if the lights go out, they're getting candles and shit.
Yeah.
Like, they have nothing. Especially in New York, where, you know, if you've seen some of the pictures of Harlem and Brooklyn during this time, and Queens and the Bronx, where people are like, you know, they have dirt roads because the city can't afford to pay for that area of Section 8 housing or whatever it is. It's the worst thing that could have happened, especially when it comes to the crime. But I think they handled it probably the best they could. Could have been a lot worse.
Listen, man, I've had some low points in my life, but never have I been at a low point where the fucking lights go off, and
yeah.
I think to myself,
"Burn some shit."
Yeah, you know what? You know what I need to do right now?
I need to fucking loot a Target, man.
I need to go steal a Pontiac. Is what the fuck I need
to
do.
Yeah, I would do that too.
Yeah, you got to be honest though. We're trash enough. We would have made out like bandits.
I don't know, man. I'm an old man. I probably would have stayed home.
Yeah,
not
you
kid ourselves.
Yeah. But you got to remember, during this time, like, 13-year-olds were, like, walking around in gangs with knives and shit.
Yeah.
Like, this was wild.
But yeah, I figured since there's so much like weird civil unrest going on that I thought to myself, like, what's a time where there was like legitimate civil unrest where I think New York City was just kind of a ticking time bomb in a way. And I feel like they were just kind of waiting on something to happen.
It was a culmination of drugs. Yeah. And I think the blackout just set it off.
The violence and all that shit.
And if you look at, for people listening, I hope you look up pictures and videos. Because if you look at the pictures, it's
weird.
It's eerie. Really weird. Because usually the skyline, it's either the daytime and you can see it, or it's nighttime and all the lights are on. There's no lights on.
Well, it's when you think of New York, you know, it's a city that never sleeps. So you think of people... You know, stuff's always going on.
Very eerie.
And during a blackout, there's nothing there. You're not going to see anything.
So it's from, this video here is from NBC New York, which is probably pretty credible. It's a, it's just called New York City Blackout, what it was like when the city lost power in 1977.
It was just after 9:30 p.m. when the streetwalkers in Times Square were suddenly doused in darkness, when thousands of passengers on graffiti-scarred trains became stuck, often in tunnels.
There was absolutely no panic, and you'd never know that there was any kind of emergency.
At first, in much of the city, there was a spirit of calm resilience, civilians directing traffic. Surgery moved outside at Brooklyn Jewish Hospital to utilize car batteries.
Holy fuck.
Did you hear that? They moved surgery to outside under the street lamps.
Listen, man, I know we got to cut you open and touch your guts and shit, but we got to do this shit outside.
Yeah, and that's the only way they could get power was to connect to, like, street lamps and, like, generators and shit outside for people having... They're in post-op. They're, like, fucked up having an ACL surgery, and the power goes
they're
out.
They're in the medical, you know, theater, and they're just like, okay, well, we don't have lights in here. Let's go outside with it.
Yeah, and if the video, the visuals...
Dude's doing H over in the corner.
Yeah. The visuals are just people are...
Fucking tying off over here.
People are moving traffic. People are doing surgery in the street. There's just people walking around. Everybody driving cars is just doesn't know what's going on.
Yeah, there's well the thing is like there's gridlock because none of the lights worked.
Yeah.
Which is I mean it's pretty crazy to have gridlock even then. I mean, you just had the gas crisis a year ago.
Yeah.
And gas prices are still ridiculous. You got the financial hit cuz I think it was what a recession again.
Yeah.
Around that time, so
yeah,
everyone's fucked on money and gas.
Yeah,
and
this was in the middle of a financial crisis within New York, so this is like the worst possible time.
Well, I think it was a national crisis.
Yeah, it was too, but it hit New York in particular because they also had the huge crime problem and you know drug issue during this time. But
time of emergency.
At first, in much of the city, there was a spirit of calm resilience. Civilians directing traffic. Surgery moved outside at Brooklyn Jewish Hospital to utilize car batteries as backup power.
Okay, so they didn't use streetlights.
No, they used car batteries.
Car batteries.
And they have the video that I'm watching, they have pictures of just surgeons outside next to a car. It's like, you know, it's one of the Pontiacs.
And I just throw those car batteries right in the ocean.
Honestly,
what the fuck using them for surgery for?
Fucking Atlantic.
Fuck those turtles.
But yeah, they're just sitting next to a Chevelle. Just doing this guy's open eye surgery.
Holy shit,
getting.
Dude. Carter served as president of the United States from 77 to 81. So this is the first year of his administration.
It's a rough deal.
God damn.
I mean, people, you can hate on presidents all you want, but this is just one of the things he had to deal with that first year in 77, trying to fix all the Nixon and Ford administration, you know, havoc. And this was, I think, a year after Nam ended.
No, this I think... Vietnam ended in, like, what, 75? So
yeah.
It's like 2 years, yeah.
Somewhere around there.
With her own power generation facility, the Statue of Liberty remained lit. But
oh,
the
wow.
tired, the poor, oh. the huddled masses she beckoned soon became restless, agitated, and violent.
Holy shit. It sucks that you can't see this, because there's just... It's daytime now, so it's in the morning, I assume, the next day. And people are just throwing trash all around the streets and screaming at cops.
Yeah, but I feel like that's just New York anyways.
Yeah, but I think in this particular instance, I mean...
We call that a Tuesday around here.
Yeah. there's just buildings on fire everywhere. It's got to be 7, 6 in the morning. It's dawn. Yeah, there's just fires everywhere. Garbage everywhere. It's just a lower... I mean, this is... all in the lower class, obviously, because the upper classes were in their high rises, probably not a worry.
Section 8 housing,
or they're fucking brownstones.
Yeah. Exactly. So, I mean, this is also a huge comeuppance to the people who lived in New York during this time who were piss poor compared to the people of the hierarchy who were, you know, the wealthy ones in Wall Street. So it's, I mean, it. You can argue however.
I think Manhattan is where all the wealthy live.
Yeah, Wall Street, Manhattan. You can argue that, you know, these people are put there because they don't work hard enough. But
you think pull yourself up by your bootstraps there, buddy.
Yeah, if you think that, go fuck yourself, because these people are in the fucking street and it's no lights are on and they're just
your home, the home next to you, and is burning.
Yeah,
and then there's also guys doing surgery out and
fucking car batteries. There's people doing
by car light.
People doing foot surgeries by car batteries. So I mean, fuck you.
Oh man, so it's actually kind of funny. I remember Carter gave a speech. And he was basically trying to, like, breathe hope into the nation. And this is, I remember it's within the first year of his presidency. And I distinctly remember him saying, people think that the next 4 years will be worse than the last 4 years. And guess what, Jimmy? They fucking were.
I can imagine someone just screaming, go fuck yourself, peanut man.
Yeah, yeah, he was the peanut man, wasn't he?
Yeah. He was a peanut farmer, yeah.
Yeah, George Washington Carver.
He's actually he's a nice guy.
He's a sweet old man, though.
Yeah, he is.
He's kind of like, that's kind of what's happening to Bush now, is that Bush is starting to, people are starting to like him because he's just an old man.
Oh, they just forgot about Iraq?
They forgot about the horrendous war crimes. Look at
this sweet elderly fellow.
Exactly. Look at this sweet old man.
I mean, Carter inherited some shit. I mean, every president does.
Carter was
actually a good guy.
Carter was smashed between two of the worst regimes in history of America. He was smashed right in between it, and he somehow came out unscathed. But I'm going to keep this video going.
The situation here in Brownsville was described as anarchy, war, rioting.
It was terrible. I could see from my window there everybody looting, taking furniture, everything.
So the camera for...
First of all, he just sounds so innocent and
that
sweet.
Woman...
Yeah, that's a woman.
That was an old black. That was an elderly black lady.
It sounded like a very acidic person.
Yes. It was an elderly black lady with.
I thought it was a small Jewish guy.
No, but they showed
throwing trash and stuff on the streets.
So the news camera rolls by the streets where there's fires, and the only light that you could see is from the camera itself. So it looks like Blair Witch.
Oh my god.
And they're rolling past, and all it is young, mostly minority children, it's children, like 7, 6 years old, no parent in
looking
sight.
Looking for shit to do.
They're throwing trash and starting fires, and it's just the camera's rolling in a car. Yeah, honestly,
fun.
Good New York City fun.
Yeah, I'd do that too.
Go get myself a GTO. War, rioting.
It was terrible. I could see from my window there everybody looting, taking furniture, everything.
Okay, now that I'm listening to her, she sounds really sweet.
Let me look at her.
Huh? Oh yeah.
So you show him first, okay?
No, here.
You know, stealing, looting, and it wasn't a pretty thing.
Holy
was awful.
Shit.
It wasn't a pretty thing. It was awful.
Unlike much bigger power outages in 1965 and 2003, New York City in 1977 was very much on edge. The Son of Sam was stalking, and the fabric of the cash-strapped city was coming apart. The blackout was a tipping point in sweltering, poverty-stricken neighborhoods, and the NYPD was weakened by layoffs and low morale.
All the services had deteriorated. The subways were filled with graffiti, crime, police, fire, sanitation, education, social services had all been decimated.
And yet...
So it's a fucking war zone.
Yeah.
Is what he's saying. I mean,
it's a perfect storm.
Yeah, we can't do it justice with our, you know, simple vocabulary, but it's just the images alone.
You can't.
Yeah, I can't. But if you just look at... Just look at the pictures alone or some of the videos, especially from, like, the news. I just think it's hilarious, though, because they're in the news camera instead of a van just rolling past. They're like, look at all the
trash everywhere.
Yeah, look at all these animals. I mean, it's wild.
Children are throwing trash.
Yeah. The children were throwing the trash. There was so much trash. Jimmy, I'll tell you.
It's
the
fire.
Trash. The amount of trash that there was.
You want to talk about trash?
These people just add to the trash.
You think you know about trash?
They're starting fires.
I was at the blackout of 77. All right.
Yeah, dude.
I'll tell you about fucking trash.
People tell these stories. This is, dude, these grandparents.
Dude, I can't imagine how many different, like, awesome accents. Because New York City is just nothing but the melting pot of accents. So I can't imagine how many hilarious like, obviously they're in pain and like they're like scared for their lives.
Economic despair.
Yeah.
And those kids were just having a good time.
Dude, those kids were having a ball with that trash.
I would be stealing Pontiacs like no fucking nothing. Dude, I'd go to a dealership.
You were really stuck on that Pontiac park.
I am, dude. Dude. Cars back in the 70s?
A fresh like the, GTO in 77? Dude, you would see me. I would be looting everywhere. Fuck I would not care.
Fuck yeah.
Except, do not. You can't loot the mom and pop stores. You have to. You only can loot. I mean, there's a
GM,
Walmart.
Yeah. Go down to the bodega.
Loot GM.
Target.
Bodega and steal the bodega cat. Be like, it's my guy now.
Sears.
I don't know, man. Bodegas. Thing. That kind of seems where you get the most fight. That's
murder. No. The guys in the bodegas were sitting crouched down with shotgun. They were the rooftop Koreans that you would talk about. Those were the bodega owners.
No, they were like that guy in Taxi Driver. He's like, I'll take care of the body.
Yeah.
That fucking guy.
Yeah, yeah.
That
no,
guy.
You just go. You go, Travis.
Don't worry about it. We got guys like the Iceman around to do this.
They don't even know each other. He's just like, thank you. Hey. Go ahead.
Right there.
Yeah. Yeah, you can. I mean, you could just fucking see the despair. We're not going to play the whole video for you because obviously it's... I mean, it's just... They're
it's
just
long as fuck,
yeah, it's 3 minutes, but
it's
they're
on
just...
on YouTube, you can find it.
It's 3 minutes, 6 seconds. They're just rehashing the same thing over and over
like
again.
Feels like forever.
It's just depressing because they just keep showing the exact same, you know, despair that...
Stratified sadness, yeah.
I mean, it's... This is like... See, if this happened in Emporia, Kansas, we wouldn't be having this conversation. Couldn't have happened to a better city.
Perfect time, perfect place.
I mean, it was literally just, it's no offense to New York during the 70s, but it was just complete, it was the garbage capital of the world. Especially, was when...
It's only recently gotten away from that.
Yeah.
Like, it's only recently gotten away from that reputation.
And this was also when Staten Island was just the garbage dump of the world. It was literally the biggest garbage dump, like, in America was Staten Island, I'm pretty sure. And that makes perfect sense why there's so much fire, too.
Well, yeah.
But it was mainly just because when you're that poor and you have insurance on a place and the place is completely dilapidated, you're going to burn it down. Like Goodfellas, when they buy the restaurant and they...
Coca Cabana?
Yeah, Coca Cabana, and they just burn it down. They're like, listen,
Once you milk it of enough money and you just... When it's flat on its face, you just
bust it out.
Light the place up.
Light this baby up, huh, Henry?
Real fucking shame.
he's signing the paper. Fucking shame. Tell you what, if you haven't seen Goodfellas, you gotta watch that too. Why are you even listening if you haven't seen Goodfellas?
Yeah, stop what you're doing.
I don't know if there's any...
Go fucking watch it.
Have you ever seen a movie that has to do with this? I feel like they should have made like a full feature.
I don't think I've seen any movies, but I've read a couple comic books that have superheroes that are like in New York during the 70s, and like this occurs.
Now, if you look up New York City Blackout, it comes up New York City Blackout 2003, 1965, 2019, 2006, 2020, 1994, 2021, and today.
Yeah, blackouts are pretty commonplace, but this one was special
city-wide.
Because of all the crime wave that like
it was the worst possible time.
Yeah, the social stuff that precipitated this is what's most interesting about it.
Yeah, because the thing is, it got way worse after this.
Way worser.
Yeah. Way worser. it got severely worse after this because then Reagan came in and Reagan brought a lot of crack with him.
Trickle down. Everything trickled down.
Yeah, the crack trickle down economics that Reagan brought with him. Trickle the crack down all the way to
the CIA trickled down the crack.
Yeah. And we don't mean to be politically biased in any way. It's just our personal opinions.
Anything we say in here that sounds insensitive, we don't mean it. I mean, obviously, but...
We do have strong opinions, though, about Reagan. We hate him with burning passion.
I think everybody does.
Yeah, well, our grandfather loves
Anybody with a brain hates Reagan.
Our white, old, wealthy grandfather loves Reagan, which makes perfect sense.
Yeah.
And so, as you can see today, it's really trickling down to us.
Yeah, exactly. So this couldn't have happened in a better city. I mean, it was just the worst possible time, place, the mayor, everything. Carter was probably... Because I've seen pictures of Carter standing like by a completely burnt down apartment building. It's just him in a suit, just in there going like, yep, yeah.
Yeah, it's fucked.
And these these minority children are just sitting there just looking at him like, you know that I sleep here, right?
Yeah.
it's so sad. Luckily, they managed to get up out of it. But for the long time, especially 70s and 80s, man, it was not, especially because I think was it during the 60s or the 70s where it was pretty much divided by race at that point, because it was, you know, America was still deep entrenched.
Well, the thing is, okay, so the projects started out as housing for poor whites,
mm-hmm.
caused by the Great Depression.
Yeah.
And then, like, eventually poor whites became poor ethnic minorities, poor immigrants, yep. not just like African American or like Hispanic.
No, it ranges from Asian yeah. to
everybody.
Yeah, everybody.
Like, Eastern European, like every single everybody.
That,
but then it eventually transferred over to African American and Latino,
which has a lot to do with just the you know the racial. I mean the racist system. It was yeah, pretty racist during this point.
Well, anybody disenfranchised eventually
yeah,
lived
yeah.
there, because that's
and
all they could afford.
And the thing is, once people got into projects, the city basically said, okay, let's keep the racial minorities here, and then we'll slowly yeah. build a wall. Because like if the Shlobum projects in Yonkers, which is not that far from New York City, I know. It's such a weird name for a city. But the Shlobum projects.
Shlobum.
I know, it's a cool name.
It's like Bed-Stuy. But it's just spelled weird.
The Shlobum projects are especially awful because they literally built a fucking wall around the projects. You know the wall that Trump wanted for Mexico?
Yeah.
This is the wall they actually built around the projects.
Completely based on race, pretty much.
Yeah.
And that's why there's so many. If you go to like New York City, that's why they have Little China and Little Italy and all these. Places, which is because the people, I mean, they all congregated together because
yeah,
you know you
want
to be with
care of each other.
Yeah, you want to be with your own people, but it's also the white people back then,
especially motherfuckers.
Yeah, they liked that because they were like, hey, they can stay away from us, you know. But the thing
stay
is,
stay away from my daughters.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. Just I mean, horrible shit like that, and you know, it's just sad because this shit mostly, it only really affected all these poor areas.
I mean, you think some wealthy Wall Street dude wants to live next to some smelly immigrants or something?
Yeah, exactly. And it's just sad because it's New York.
70s, man.
It's New York because it's the place where that shit, you're supposed, if you're
it's you're supposed
minority,
to be the melting pot.
As James Bond yeah. would say, it's a man's world, baby. It's just, it's a
James
man's
Bond.
World.
James Bond said, it's a man's world.
James Brown.
Oh, I thought you said James Bond. You know, he's an octopus. He said
that out. We could just edit all of this out. We could just.
Thanks for.
Can you just
that.
Press the delete button? Actually, I actually want to keep that part in. That's actually kind of funny.
James Bond.
James Brown.
James Bond and octopus. Is a man's world.
Okay. But yeah.
So yeah, it was. It's extremely sad. Extremely.
I just can't imagine being a person who survives this. And then you look around and you're like, what now? Like, what the fuck do I do now?
I also think
when your house burns down and
yeah,
all your belongings
yeah.
are gone. And
I also think it's wild that people today...
It's like you're fucked.
People today will like... They're like, oh, my parents didn't buy me the newest phone I want. It's like, oh, yeah?
I got a BMW. Oh, yeah. I didn't get a Porsche.
Yeah, you know where I lived in 1977 between the dates of July 13th to 14th?
My fucking house burned down.
I lived the projects and then the streets.
Yeah, I lived in Southeast Bronx. And you know where I lived the day after that?
Nowhere.
Yeah.
Nowhere.
The Atlantic Ocean.
I lived on the sidewalk next to my fucking apartment building.
Yeah. Well, the thing is, there was pieces of Harlem that didn't even have paved roads because the city just did not want to give them the funding for that reason.
Well, the infrastructure was garbage anyways.
Yeah. And it was just kids playing in like just piles of garbage that got collected from all the burnt down buildings.
Those are some of my favorite pictures, is like when you see kids on the New York streets in like the poor areas.
Yeah.
And there's these like cars from like the 1950s and in mm-hmm. like the 40s, and they're like burnt out, and like kids literally like turn those into like mini playgrounds.
Yeah. And also this was actually New York during the late 70s was actually where hip hop started to find its roots, actually. Which sounds surprising because it really didn't come to fruition until like the late 80s, the mid 80s, when hip-hop actually became like a genre within itself. But this was actually during, because this was when like funk was big. It had a huge musical influence because it was all these poor...
Disco.
Yeah, it was all these poor disenfranchised kids living in you know, Harlem, and all they had was each other. And there's pictures of them carrying boom boxes and shit. So you could see that they were, you know, this is actually where it kind of started. There's a lot of big, I forget who comes out of here, but there's a lot of big names that came out of New York in the late 70s, big hip hop names later on. I don't know where Sugar Hill Gang is from, but I want to see New York.
I want to say Sugar Hill. I think that's where they're from.
Sugar Hill. Yeah.
It's in the
from the Hill of Sugar. I'll tell you that.
And boy, was it not made of sugar.
No. So, this is episode 3 of the Agent Orange podcast. Is the New York City blackout.
A little bit of the blackout and whatever else.
Yeah, we just bullshit.
Yeah.
I mean, you get it. You know what happened.
I mean, I think you guys can kind of tell, like, we're still trying to kind of find our pace and our voice with this. So, if you're still listening...
Please, yeah, just please
good give on
us
you, buddy.
Listening. Yeah, like, please just give us...
And we,
give us time.
Yeah, we also must say that we love feedback. Just please let us know how you feel. If there's anything that you think should be better or anything that you think we should stop doing.
Yeah, hit up the Agent Orange Instagram.
Instagram, it's just called the Agent Orange Podcast. You should be able to find it with Liam and Justin Hopkins. And just hit up anywhere that you can listen. Hopefully by this time we'll be on Spotify, YouTube, Anchor, possibly some other places. We'll let you know in the descriptions and whatnot.
Big shout out to Ramon Rodriguez. Please hit him up on his Instagram if you ever need some sound work. Ramreezy.
So, hopefully, please return next week. And we'll see you then. Thanks for listening.
Take it easy, guys.